This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Joe. I brought this up just kind of as a notion, right? Like that, you know, there are folks out there that probably go, who cares, man? DTR, Jameis Winston, what's the difference? They can't get anything done. And even if they win their last three games of the season, what does that really mean other than pushing them away from the top pick in the NFL draft? And I think, what was I looking yesterday? 7 is where they're sitting.
Yep.
Going into this week.
Raiders on top right now.
They're doing a great job of making sure they get the number one pick, aren't they?
They're not good.
Yeah, so congratulations to them on all their badness. The other question marks then, and I kind of just brought this up for a second, what are we looking at for next year offensively? What are you looking at personnel-wise offensively for next year? I feel like, and if you just kind of look at the offense right now, like I'm looking forward to seeing more of Cedric Tillman, right? Aren't you?
Without question. It's, you know, some things are obviously unfortunate during the NFL season. That was really unfortunate that he got a concussion because he was really coming on. And now, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Credit to the offense, credit to Ken Dorsey, credit to Jameis Winston. Both Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman played really good football, you know, with Jameis at quarterback.
Once the opportunity arose with Amari being gone, right?
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like they were going there before that.
And, well, you had a different quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. You know, so we can say all the nasty things you want about Jameis and throwing interceptions because it's true. But it's also true that Cedric Tillman has never looked better as a Brown, and neither has Jerry Jeudy than with Jameis at quarterback.
Glimpses, though, of where do you stand on Elijah Moore? Where do you stand on...
He's never looked better as a Brown than with Jameis Winston.
Can you walk back into next season with those three guys as your 1-2-3 at wide receiver?
Why not?
I'm still intrigued by Jamari Thrash, too. I'm very intrigued by him.
I know. You know, does he eat very much? Is it tough to feed him at the house?
Why do you have to be a jerk? Why, you know, every time you like somebody,
just kind of wondering.
I don't sit here like I could talk
he's
about
your favorite dude. I love the fact that he's your favorite dude.
I want to see more of him playing.
That'd
There's nothing
great.
Wrong with that. I mean, do you feed him at the house?
I didn't say there was.
I mean,
anytime the word
Deshaun Kaiser can sleep in your backyard every day.
Anytime the word Deshaun comes up, you go Kaiser and you're ready to throw it in my face, which is fine because I like him.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We know. But, yeah. I mean, anytime, like, I
don't take it personally. All of a sudden, you're a little touchy.
Well, you made it personal when you said, do you feed him?
Well, I was wondering. You say the same stuff about Kaiser. I'm supposed to sit here and take it, and I do.
I say this smile, about multiple with players. A smile. Anytime I talk about any of the tight ends, you're like, oh, I'm tight end. I talk about a long snapper. Give him credit. I give our punter credit, which, by the way, has been the MVP of the season.
Okay, there it is, Dan.
Do you want to?
Took just over an hour in the show.
Seriously, who's had the best season for this team?
Myles Garrett.
Who's come through every time you've needed him to come through?
Corey Bohorquez.
Thank you. Thank you. But it's sad when your MVP is your punter.
He's not the MVP.
He is.
He's really good, though.
He has been consistent.
He's really good.
Did you see, even this week?
Like him.
I thought his punts were outstanding.
Like him. Like him a lot.
Thought he's done a nice job.
Outstanding.
Rex Unihara has done like a nice job coming in long snapping.
Yeah.
Let's give him a little bit of love.
There, a little love.
So those are, I don't know if Unihara will he be able to keep his job next year?
Unlikely.
What happens when Charlie Hewlett comes back?
You tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a camp battle.
You're going to cry.
Can't wait till they get to the Greenbrier. Which one of these guys is going to be the long snapper next season?
You're the Haslams. You're writing that Greenbrier check because it sure paid off this year.
Well, it paid off last year, so now you're 50-50 on it. You're not under 500.
You're right.
You're 50-50.
You're 50-50. Which way are we going to go?
How about if we
just like compromise and go to Steubenville? It's about halfway.
Isn't there? There's a decent casino over there. Isn't there?
There's got to be a Days Inn in Steubenville they can play at. Roll out some turf on the asphalt and go.
Where is it? Bel Air, where they said the big relays, all the big track meet every year. The Bel Air Browns.
Steubenville was a good retreat for us. We had a great time.
It was great. We really
bonded.
You know, it was great. We took the afternoon out.
Go Big Red.
We saw what Dean Martin did while he was here. I thought it was very important that
we took the tour of the Dean Martin house.
The boys understood the history of Steubenville, what's going on here, how this really was the home of sports gambling before sports gambling was actually a thing. Just wanted to make sure the guys understood that, got the history. Some teams go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Go Big Red.
We go to Steubenville. Took a trip out to Toronto, Ohio, that is. Was it Mingo Junction's down there too, isn't it? Is that one of those other little places? Maybe we'll take a trip down to Ironton. Those kids, those boys played with heart, by the way, those Ironton kids in the state football championship.
Did.
So I'm glad I was able to bring
sure
that up.
Did.
Going back to our current Cleveland Browns that we're talking about right now, we're talking about evaluation process, what you'll see in the next couple of weeks, what you want to see. Is there anybody? The other one that intrigues me too is Mike Hall. Like, he looked pretty good.
He's a part of this moving forward. You know, if he can make sure he's eligible.
And that was jumping over to the defensive side of the ball. But I don't. Is there anything else that Jerome Ford? Like, I think he's been consistent. I thought that touchdown run this weekend kind of solidified that he should have a spot on this team in the future. Don't you?
Our team needs a number one running back next year.
I feel bad for Nick because I don't know what Nick's going to look like again next year.
You can't count on Nick being that guy, and it's unfair. So they need to go get a number one running back. I don't think Jerome's that guy.
So can Nick be the number two running back here or no?
I'm not counting on Nick at all.
So you're saying this is the swan song for
no,
Nick?
No, I'm not counting on him. So if he can come back and be really good, terrific. Then
he's
I have
got a spot. That's
then I have
saying.
A co-number one running back with whoever else I bring in.
I mean, he's just short of like 7,000 yards. He was going to be the first running back to hit 7,000 yards in seven seasons since Jim Brown.
I'm not worried about milestones. What I'm worried about is the guy, is he able to walk for the rest of his life? It's like the story about Yao Ming that I saw the other day, retired at 30 and doesn't regret it at all because he didn't want to be able to have to spend the rest of his life, you know, needing help to move.
Hmm.
Hopefully a broken foot heals. The knee's going to be a mess later in life for Nick, and you know that's just the way that's going to be.
And I know we're not talking draft, but any chance you're taking a left tackle with a number one overall pick?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, or I think anything's on the board.
But at some point, you got to prioritize.
Big time wide receiver, that's on the board.
I would lean to get a left tackle before I would get a wide receiver.
Big time defensive end. Big time defensive tackle. They're all on the board.
This team has
a lot of needs.
Yeah, I know it has needs. But if you had to pick and someone said to you, Jeff, your number one pick, and now I'm not asking for a name. I'm asking for a position.
I'm not going to do that.
Would you take a left tackle over a wide receiver?
Depends who I have more highly rated. I don't want to.
You're probably going to be sitting in top six picks.
Then you pick the best guy on your board and you go, as long as he's not a corner.
Dan, who would you pick? Would you pick a wide receiver over a left tackle if you were the Browns? I know it's early to have this draft.
I'm taking Graham from Michigan, and I'm not even hesitating. Give me the defensive tackle from Michigan. That dude is a game.
Oh, you're
game.
Going DE. Okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
What if he's not available? That's my question.
That dude is a game wrecker. That guy is like, hey, you had a game plan. I'm going to stand here and make sure you can't do it. I'm taking that kid easy.
What if he's gone?
If he's there.
What if he's gone?
Andy, you're in a position where
one of the pass rushers from Penn State.
You have to.
So you're going
to
defense
draft.
In the draft.
Hmm?
You're
100%.
Aren't you going to take whoever the most highly rated guy is on your board?
I'm not touching quarterback in this draft.
That's, I don't think I am. Either. Well, I'm not.
Not touching quarterback.
Not in the first couple rounds.
Right. Not in the first round. You take one later, fine. I'm in. I'm not touching quarterback.
I think there are other needs. Obviously, they need a quarterback, but if you don't have a guy who's jumping off the page, you don't make that reach when you finally get a first-round pick again.
Have you watched Graham from Michigan?
Nope.
You should.
Are we numb?
He's your kind of guy, Jeff. He's the kind of guy you would watch that guy and be like, ooh, I like him. Ooh, he's big, he's fast, go. And he hits
Why don't you give
people.
Him a buzz right let's now and see what he wants for dinner while he's living here? You
I would love that.
Dinner every night.
Well, Dan's,
I'm in.
Dan's
let's
got
go.
Him.
He's got
Dan's
the spare
got him
room.
In the back room.
He's got the spare room.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll feed him.
It might get costly.
I think he's making more money than both you guys combined.
Probably,
say
man.
It
doesn't say much.
Yeah. Is it pathetic that we're talking about this right now?
No,
let's be honest.
We're talking about
December
the team for next year.
17th.
The team is where it is. Andy, it's 3-11. We're not talking this year. I'd like to see them win the final three games and maybe answer any questions they may have about personnel. Whatever those questions are. They know what they are.
Play the schedule game then with me. Cincinnati, who's already they've won two
why
in a row.
Why do we even bother with a schedule game?
I agree with you, but you said I'd like to see them win the last three games. Do you think they can win the last three games?
Why not?
I don't see them beating Baltimore that last
week. Why not? They did once.
In fact, I see that Baltimore game maybe meaning a lot for Baltimore.
Right.
Which
would be all the more reason the Browns would want to go win it.
Which could also put us in a flex position of being in a nationally televised game last week of the season with three wins.
I doubt that.
I'm just looking through. They'll be jockeying for position because I'm looking. When I was looking at the playoff race this morning, I think what all three AFC teams that are on the bubble are all under 500. Do you care?
The Browns aren't going to be on national TV the rest of the way.
I've already talked about this being. Do I want to repeat myself what I said in the beginning, or get in trouble again?
Again, the way that this Bengal game has been flexed all over the place, right. It wouldn't shock me.
Is that sad?
It wouldn't
Isn't it sad?
It wouldn't shock me if we're sitting there going, wait, what channel is I on?
No, it's
who has the CW?
You're 3-11, guys. Let's just, we all understand. And it's pretty clear. We all understand that. You're 3-11.
I'm just trying to think. How many dot channels does Channel 8 have? Maybe they can throw it out one. Oh, no, that would be Fox. So they'd have to go back to. So how many dot channels does Channel 19 have? They can throw that on there. Wonder what the ratings will be like.
Do I even get 55 anymore?
I can't believe it. This is it. We've hit it. Jeff, 13 years. We hit rock bottom today.
We've been in rock bottom before.
Yeah. I feel like we've hit rock bottom a bunch of times.
You forgot
0-16,
huh?
This feels worse than 0-16.
No, it doesn't.
No, it does. Because at 0-16, we had zero expectations. This is worse than pandemic, where we're sitting in our houses trying to talk about two guys playing catch. We were looking for anything to talk about for sports. True.
Had a lot of fun covering NASCAR.
That was great. I thought you did a good job with that.
Thanks.
You were taking
Watching
spins.
Documentaries. Pretty much just calling anybody we felt like calling that day.
Oh,
it was a lot of fun.
We made some good relationships during that time, didn't we?
We had a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Everybody was locked in.
Yeah. Doc Emmerich joined us for like a half hour.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Can we get him back on?
I
think he forgot about us.
I went through NBC to get him, and he's no longer with NBC, so I don't know. I'll see.
All right, let me see. Maybe I can pull a couple strings. We'll figure some things out there. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. When we come back, we'll bring in Chris Easterling from the Akron Beacon Journal. We'll get his take on the Browns. Also, I want to talk a little Ohio State football coming up. We'll bring in John Hughes, former Browns defensive lineman. I got to talk about that NBA Cup. I mean, what are you doing for the Cup tonight? Big party at your house, right? We're all coming over. Let's get more insight on what's going on with the Browns. Let's bring in Chris Easterling from the Akron Beacon Journal. Of course, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you? Thanks for joining us. Always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. How you guys doing?
Hi, Chris.
We are doing good. DTR to start on Sunday. Thoughts? What do you think?
I think it's my expectation that it is. This typically, whenever Kevin doesn't give a firm answer like that on Monday, it typically means the change is coming on Wednesday. But, yeah, I mean, why not? I'm point, you know, I think you know what Jameis is. I mean, we've known what Jameis has been for, you know, pretty much of his career in terms of going forward. So you might as well give Dorian the opportunity to start to figure out what you really do have. And, you know, because you have to make a decision in this offseason about the quarterback position in terms of, do you go out and sign another one? Do you trade for another one? Do you draft one? Even though, boy, this draft class just looks terrible at the quarterback spot outside of a couple of potential guys. So, yeah, go with Dorian and see what you have. You know, kind of make a final verdict on him.
What is it that they're looking for with Dorian, Chris? Is it, can you be our starter, or is it, can you be our backup?
I would guess it's the latter, Jeff. I would guess that, look, I don't see him as a long-term answer at the quarterback position. But you have to know that, can we trust this guy to come in a situation like he did the last time they played the Bengals? Can we trust him to come in and play well enough that the game just doesn't get away from us, that they can win the football game, that he can lead them to wins? And I because it's been so up and down. And I mean, you saw Sunday, he came in and it was, you know, 4 of 9, 18 yards, ends with a pick. You know, that Cincinnati game was much like the Baltimore game a year ago when he was thrown into the mix. You have to feel like you can really trust him. And I don't know if they completely trust him right now to be that guy.
Do you think week one starting quarterback next year is on the roster right now? I don't. You tell me what
no.
you think. Yeah, I don't think.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Who that week one starting quarterback is, I don't know, but it's gonna make for some fascinating. You guys are going to not be short of things to talk about once this season ends.
We'll reciprocate, so you won't be short of anything to write about, too.
Well, appreciate that.
Fair enough.
Chris, the one thought to me, if they're not going to start Jameis, to me that means, hey, Jameis, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Good luck in your career. Otherwise, if you thought there was any chance that he's going to be a key part of this situation next year, you'd start him the rest of the way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's my thinking as well. And that's why I was hesitant until Sunday. I think Sunday was kind of the tipping point. I really do believe that Kevin wanted to stick with Jameis because he saw Jameis the potential. Hey, maybe we can harness this a little bit. Maybe preparing him as the starting quarterback from day one of the off season. Have gotten a deal done. Maybe we can do something with this. And I just think the last three games in totality and then, just three more just bad interceptions. I mean, they're not all on Jameis, but, he's the one throwing the football. So I just think that was just a bridge too far for the whole situation.
I'm just kind of looking ahead to this week's game. I just find it funny that this game was flexed out of Thursday night, the first game that's ever been flexed out of a Thursday night game. Then they gave the game to Fox. Fox didn't want it, and CBS is like, I guess we'll take it. I mean, what does that say about the big picture of what's going on here?
I think CW didn't want it, maybe.
Wow.
in all seriousness, I wonder if that's just one of those things where it's technicalities. It might be the reason why, as much as I think some people might want to see that Dolphins game get flexed out of Sunday night.
Yeah.
The mechanisms that go into the flex scheduling and everything, I don't completely understand. So that might be just something that, look, you kind of move the board things around the chessboard, and well, this one has to, by default, this one has to go someplace. I don't understand why you're putting another Patriots game at 4:25. I mean, they know Tom Brady's not playing, right?
Yeah. No, you're right.
They might be aware. You never know. Can I, if you're Jimmy Haslam and you walk out of the owners' meetings and Jeremy Fowler asks you, do you have the right guys in place at head coach and general manager? And you say, yeah, I do, we do, but we're going to evaluate everything at the end of the year. You're 3-11, Chris. He's allowed to reevaluate. I think we'd all understand if he wanted to make a change and did make a change. Do you think they make any changes there, or do you think they think they have the right people and this was a blip? Good question.
Talk to me after Cincinnati. To me after Cincinnati. This season is spiraling toward the kind of finish where some changes just have to be made, as much for sending a message as anything else. I just don't know what the message is, which one it is. I mean, is it Andrew? Is it Kevin? Is it both of them? Is it, I think there will be coaching staff changes, maybe even multiple. I think multiple of them maybe. But in terms of the big two, standing pat, just if this thing ends 3-14, just does not seem like a message you can sell to your, to the fan base.
It'd be a bolder move to stand pat than it would to make changes, wouldn't it? At this point,
yeah, it would be, for years people complained about Jimmy being too erratic, too knee jerk, too in the moment, in his decision makings in terms of firing people and everything. And now the irony is, if he stood pat and he goes, look, we're trying to build consistency. This guy is a year removed from 11 wins, a playoff appearance. This is the only regime that has twice won 11 games, twice had winning seasons since this franchise came back in 99. He deserves. The quarterback situation was a mess. We messed up. Mea culpa. Let's figure out how to get this right. I would understand it. But it's just a tough, tough sell because this season has just been such a disaster.
Chris, tell me something that's gone right. We've been spending an hour and a half here talking about what's wrong. Give me something that's gone right for this team.
Corey Bohorquez has looked like a Pro Bowler.
Thank you! Friend of the show, Chris.
Way to tee him up, Chris.
Good job.
In all seriousness, I think this is Denzel Ward's best season as a pro, even if the interception totals may not be there. I think this is the year that maybe finally Denzel Ward, I don't know if he's underappreciated in NFL locker rooms around the league or in other buildings around the NFL teams, but it seems like nationally just, he seems to get forgotten. I think this is the year Denzel Ward is sort of, hey, I'm out here, and I'm one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and it's time to notice me.
I agree with you. How about wide receiver? Are you comfortable with what you've seen since Jameis took over from the three guys who have been the top three receivers, Tillman, Moore, and certainly Jerry Jeudy?
I've been really impressed with Jerry. I think, I'll be honest about, if you look at Elijah Moore, and I'm not advocating re-signing him, but if you look at the last 2 years when Elijah Moore has had a quarterback capable of throwing the football, he's looked all right. As if you think of him as a third or a fourth option, you know, assuming David Njoku, you know, as one of your top two options in a normal season, he gives you something. He's not played poorly. Again, when the quarterback has been, you know, he's limited, but he hasn't been terrible. And with Sett, it's just, this is the problem with Sett. It's just been stop-start with, you know, his career with, you know, no sooner does he get going than he has this concussion. Last year he got a late start, and then, you know, we didn't see him in the playoffs because he had a concussion in Cincinnati in the finale. So, you know, I'm certainly intrigued by what I'm seeing, but from Ted Tillman, and definitely like what I've seen out of Jerry. But, you know, I still think drafting a young wide receiver would not be the worst thing for this organization this spring.
Chris, no way they go after a quarterback. Right? If they do, right after like the third round, I would think. Huh?
Unless they love somebody.
Yeah.
If they fall in love with somebody, then they fall in love with somebody. I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants. But, you know, and
I don't know. The last guy they fell in love with here, we've got a lot of heartache. So
sometimes that's the way it works out.
Chris, as always, a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us today. And we hopefully will talk to you soon here. See you at the stadium.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Easterling, make sure you read him every day in the Akron Beacon Journal.
Anymore. Does anybody even look up what Chase McLaughlin's doing at Tampa? Made 54 out of 58 field goals. But he can't kick for Cleveland.
Chuck, he's a kicker.
which this team needs.
We had one last year. Now he's not doing very well.
And we had a new one this week.
Give Chase another year. He'll be poor. It happens all the time with kickers.
I'm talking facts. You're talking an opinion that he's going to be bad. But let me ask you one other last question.
All right, go for it.
Terry Pluto wrote this article. So it's not me. Terry wrote this article that after game three, everybody knew Watson couldn't play quarterback. Tell me why Stefanski kept playing him. Was it A, he's only a yes man for Haslam, or B, Stefanski has no idea what he's doing?
Or C, Stefanski's an employee. Like the rest of us.
That's A.
No, he called him a yes man.
So he's listening to Jerry Jones Jr. You got to get rid of Haslam. That's the first thing. I don't care what
Chuck, let's run him out of town. Tell me the formula how that happens. How do we get rid of him? Let's go. How do you get rid of any owner?
You got about seven bills sitting around, Chuck?
Yeah.
No, you got to just tell D, who never owned the team before, to tell what Jimmy really had to do with Flying J. And maybe Jimmy will leave.
I don't know.
Good luck getting rid of ownership.
He's going to leave. That's it. He's just going to leave.
I've had enough. I'm going back to Tennessee.
That's it.
That's
arms up. Done.
Moving to Milwaukee.
Away from this.
I like the Bucks. Doc Rivers is a nice guy.
Columbus, the crew.
Crew's going well.
To be more involved in the crew, right? That's last time I checked these guys that own these teams. They might be losing on the field, but they're winning in the bank account. What were the Browns? What did he pay for the Browns when he came in?
I just wanted to point out that he just gave us a test, and we're better at true-false. So if he wants to call back and give us true-false, we got a shot.
Might be valid. Look, everything has gone wrong this year. Okay.
The Browns,
you want to blame ownership? Fine. You want to blame the coach? Fine. You want to blame the general manager? Fine. You want to blame all 14 quarterbacks? Fine. It's not gone well. What you have to do is fix it, and that's where they are. The one thing I'll say about the ownership, and I didn't like their impatience early on in their ownership. Maybe now they're being too patient. What they've never been afraid to do is write a check.
Never.
Which ultimately is what it seems that most fans want an owner to do, is write a check. They've never failed to do that.
You want to know what a 3-win NFL team is worth?
Which one?
Ours.
Probably $4 billion.
Jeff, according to just Google, our good friends at Google, in 2023, the franchise value came to $5.15 billion. CNBC says, oh, no, no. Contraire, mon frère, as one of our friends would say. The Cleveland Browns are worth $6.02 billion. According to CNBC, that would rank them 22nd in the NFL.
Remember, it's only worth that if you decide to sell and somebody will pay you that.
What does Forbes think the Browns are worth? Forbes, again, $5.15 billion.
Stephen Forbes going to write the check?
What did they pay for the team again?
That was the escalating
they
value.
They paid.
Whoop. It keeps just going up, baby.
Sure does.
They paid, according to, again.
Slide whistles are great.
They paid just over $1 billion. Radio. They paid just over $1 billion for the team. Okay? I got news. If I made $4 billion on an NFL franchise, you could call here every day. Call me every name in the book. What else could you do? Tell me to move. Tell me to get out. And I would laugh at you in the face. And again, as Jeff said, as much as you may or may not like them, they continue to invest money into our city.
They've never failed to write the check.
So let's have some perspective.
Although I must, honestly, I still have a Greenbrier problem.
That's your biggest issue with the Haslams is the Greenbrier?
Yeah, you know why? At some point, I'd like to see him say, hey, we put all this money in Berea. Practice there. We don't need to go put you in some resort.
Why are you so practical? You're just so, isn't he?
Translation?
Yeah.
Why haven't I been invited?
Oh, that's true.
Nope.
I want to bring my golf course.
Only time I want to go to the Greenbrier is when an NFL team is not there and my lovely wife and I have an opportunity to have a lovely week vacation.
Oh.
He wants to bring his golf clubs. He wants to have free food. And he wants to hang out in the Eisenhower bunker.
The free food's a pretty good idea.
That's why he's mad.
I'm a fan of that, too.
If he was invited, less mad. Probably would enjoy it. Probably would actually be for it.
Who's the real winner here?
With the outside shot, he'd be invited a second time.
Tell me, Jeff, if you had $1 billion to spend on a football team and
your $5 billion doesn't happen unless you sell.
Do you think someone would buy the team for $5 billion?
Maybe.
Especially with the value-added stuff he's about to do with the dome?
I'm a guy who drove a minivan until the wheels came off.
That's just true.
I'm not really thinking about billions of dollars.
Frame fell off.
This is true, and I'm asking...
Wheels held on fine. It was the frame we were worried about.
Frame was not good.
And I'm asking you for advice on our $100,000...
Dang engine, 100,000
mile car right now.
A rusher fell off, though.
Angelo is in North Royalton.
Hey,
hello, Angelo.
Angelo,
how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Good. Turn down your radio, my friend.
Turn down?
Yep, down. Now you're good.
Okay, it's not.
Perfect.
Okay. All right, sorry.
That's okay.
So the last guy, Gary, I don't know where he's getting his plug from, but he needs a new guy because I don't know where he was coming with the stuff he was saying. But Stefanski, we don't want to get rid of him. He's a good coach. And who are we going to plug in with him anyways? Because I don't think Vrabel's going to take the position if he wanted it, because I think he's going to go somewhere else based on what he's probably seen with, you know, the owner. But the other thing on the quarterback situation, we know Watson's not going to do anything. Winston, the guy's at least tried to make plays down the field.
True.
He's been aggressive. We all know that. We see it. He throws interceptions. But he's, like you said, made Judy look amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking a chance. But in the long run, I think you bring him back for next year, right? Just as a backup. You already know what you got there. You take a chance. Let him play, maybe get a guy drafted, take a chance on some guy. But possibly in this year's draft, if we get lucky and we get the number 2 or 3 draft point or draft pick, I think we talked to Buffalo about trading down. They've got 2 number 1s. They're looking for a receiver. If we get number 2, they could get Hunter at number 2. But we get
who's probably going to play corner in the NFL.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's what the word seems to be.
All right, well, possibly. And, well, still, they might be interested in moving up, possibly for a different player. All I know is they got 2 number 1s. If we slide down and get theirs, we can possibly get their number one next year. And you're going to love what I'm going to say. You ready for it?
Go for it.
Drew Aller will be the guy to pick next year.
I was with you a couple weeks ago. I'm not opposed to that.
I know.
I really think, I think him going back to Penn State, and I think he's getting $1.1 million in NIL is the best thing he can do because it'll give him another year to become the quarterback I think everybody wants him to be in the NFL.
I agree. And he's a young quarterback as it is anyways, you know, in at his age right now. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he plays in the playoffs. Be interesting to see what he does next year. I'm just hoping we have a shot to get him, to be honest with you.
There you go, Angelo. Thank you. Here's my worries for the Browns and the higher draft pick that you want. They got a long way to go to keep moving up. Like we said in the beginning of the show, they're sitting at 7 right now. They have the worst pick of any 3-win team, according to Tankathon. And, you know, Vegas isn't going it. Vegas is doing an excellent job at being bad. They have lost 10 in a row. They are 2-12. And, you know, the Giants might be knocking on the door having to lose 9 in a row. But the Browns at 3 wins right now stand behind New England, Jacksonville, Carolina, and Tennessee. I don't know how much more they can move up. Anyone think New England's winning another game? I'm looking at some of this stuff, trying to figure it out, and I just don't see it. John Hughes, former member of the Browns defensive line, former Cincinnati Bearcat, he'll join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.